If you live somewhere in our signal area here in Northern California, you have probably at one point or another rubbed up against someone preaching the gospel of positive thinking. That's the idea that we can advance our careers, improve our health, and become happier human beings if we just squash our negative thoughts and visualize where we want to go. In her newest book, Barbara Ehrenreich argues that kind of thinking has spawned dozens of megachurches, a multi-billion-dollar self-help industry, saturated the country's business culture, and fed into some of the worst policy-making decisions of the past 10 years. Her new book is called Bright-Sided, How the Relentless Promotion of Positive Thinking Has Undermined America. Barbara Ehrenreich, welcome to KPFA.
Glad to be with you.
To start off with, why do a book attacking positive thinking?
I know, doesn't that sound twisted and mean? I mean, but it started with a personal experience. And the personal experience was that 8 years ago, I was diagnosed with breast cancer and was quite, you know, obviously upset and shocked and reached out for support in various ways. And what I found instead of support and shared experiences was constant advice and admonitions to be positive, to in fact see the cancer as a good thing that was happening to me, to embrace it. And with the rationale being, if you can think positively about it, you will actually recover. You'll get better. Whereas if you have negative thoughts, you're dooming yourself. In other words, very much a blame the victim kind of thing. That upset me. But I kind of put it out of my mind went back to mostly doing research and reporting on economic issues. And then I began to see the same thing happening with victims of layoffs. And I'm talking about before this recession. Still, layoffs were chronic in big corporations, downsizing. And the layoff victim would be told, first of all, this is a great opportunity. Don't see this as a misfortune. Now you're going to transform yourself and your life. They would be counseled that they had to be positive because you're not going to get a new job based on your experience or your skills, but only on your attitude. And it seemed to me this is two cases of taking people who are going through a really, really rough patch and kind of blaming them for what they're going through or saying it's in their minds. It's not something, you know, happening in the world we could change.
Okay, so I like the two examples you've set up. Because in the corporate setting you've described, it's obvious why it's self-serving for a manager who's cutting jobs to bring in a consultant or a motivational speaker who basically tells people this is an opportunity and if you're down in the dumps, it's your own fault. With breast cancer, what's the downside to telling someone who's suffering from that condition to try to be positive?
Well, certain oncology nurses, for example, have been saying recently, and psychiatrists who deal with the very ill, is that this is not helping. This is an additional burden for the patient who is ill, because they're not only facing whatever, you know, debilitating effects there are from the disease or the treatments, but this sense that there's something wrong with their minds that they have to change, they have to work on, or they will die. And, you know, so there's certainly people speaking up against it in the cancer caretaking industry.
You point out there's also social consequences to promoting this way of thinking. Right now, for instance, this is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. There are pink ribbons everywhere. There are special pink drinks in some of the bars, different ways to contribute to the breast cancer support industry. This kind of cheerleading around breast cancer almost has a nationwide impact this time of year.
It does. But, you know, there's a group based here in the Bay Area called Breast Cancer Action, BCA.org, which is a real feminist advocacy group on breast cancer. And they have a campaign called Think Before You Pink, you know, criticizing this, you know, glossing over the horrors of the disease with all the pink ribbons, and also pointing that so little of the research goes to the environmental causes of the disease. You know, we don't know where it's coming from. There's an epidemic. We don't know why.
Well, in fact, making something like breast cancer a question of individual responsibility, thinking positively what stakes you can take to get better, seems to preclude a discussion of what is making so many people sick in the first place.
Yeah. No, and I came out, you know, went through this illness, and the treatment was with a real righteous rage about what is going on. The disease of industrialized countries. So that makes me think some kind of environmental or lifestyle factor. And why don't we know? You know, and also, why are the treatments so barbaric? Chemotherapy is just a complete sledgehammer kind of thing. You know, kill all the cells in the body that are dividing and hope that some of the cancer cells die too. It's pretty crazy. So there's a lot to address, and I would say be constructively angry about, but not if you're so busy buying yourself pink teddy bears and reciting affirmations to yourself about, you know, about making yourself a more positive person, et cetera.
One of the things I thought you did convincingly in your book was tackle the idea that that there's a scientific basis for saying that thinking positively will actually help you with cancer.
Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, and some of the studies are very new in the last 2 or 3 years. Studies that show that it makes a difference to survival rates in the case of breast cancer, lung cancer, and several other kinds of cancer so far have been studied. So there was nothing to that. And that makes it, you know, all the more cruel, it seems to me, to be telling people that you know, it's up to them to think positively or die.
But on the other hand, there is some support in the sociological literature to maintaining a positive attitude, being better for your career than being kind of a grum grouch, which is, I guess, pretty intuitive. That's what you would expect. And that it may help with other health problems.
Well, let's talk about the career thing first.
Sure.
The American corporate culture has, especially since the 80s, completely taken over by positive thinking ideology, including the maxim or the principle that you should eliminate negative people from your workforce. Now, maybe that doesn't sound too bad until you think that being negative has been defined, you know, as I've heard it, you know, from people and interviewed people, as being raising questions, raising issues, raising doubts. So, for example, in the finance industry in the middle of this decade before the meltdown, you had people who said, you know, excuse me, I think our subprime exposure is way too high here, or something like that, and they get fired because you can't, you know, you can't be the bearer of bad news. Nobody wants to hear that. So at that point, you know, you individually might do better to get a job, to just be a yes man, plaster that smile on your face, don't question anything. But the whole enterprise is in trouble when everybody does that.
So the gospel of positive thinking on that front, on the career front, kind of becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have a lot of anecdotal stories about very fringe figures, whether they're in evangelical churches preaching the gospel of prosperity or writing self-help manuals that are basically preaching the idea that if you visualize something, the universe will somehow deliver it to you. It seems to me that it's easy to go into any broad sector and find the fringe elements and use them to discredit the rest. Did you find any redeeming work or work with some basis?
Well, these are not fringe figures we're talking about here. One of the people who gets a little attention here is Joel Osteen, who is the pastor of the largest mega church in America. He has been designated as the you know, most important Christian evangelical in the country. You know, it may be in Berkeley, he's not such a big name, but Joel Osteen is a big name. Similarly, I mean, when it comes to that sort of crazy stuff, excuse me, I should not be so biased. When it comes to the idea that you can attract anything you want to from the universe with your thoughts, this was the idea of a huge bestseller in 2006, the bestseller book called The Secret. These are not fringy things. You know, this is mainstream America. Now, not all the people who subscribe to some, you know, version of this would go all the way into the idea that you can attract money to your wallet just by thinking. And yet that idea is present already, in a sense, in Norman Vincent Peale in the 50s, goes way back, that our minds can control the universe if we can only master them.
And this is something, as you point out, that's also been taken up by the leadership of the American Psychological Association.
Well, in 1998, the birth of, quote, positive psychology was announced. Sounded like a good idea to me to have a branch of psychology that doesn't just look at misery and neurosis and so on, but looks at happier states. And, you know, I was working on a book about collective joy at the time, but called Dancing in the Streets. And I was, you know, frustrated by how little science I could find about the kinds of states of exaltation and ecstasy that people can achieve, you know, at some kind of carnival or festivity or ecstatic religious event. Very little about this. It's a great, yeah, go study the, you know, let's do that. But what it has turned out to, my criticism is it's become more or less a handmaid to the big commercial enterprise of the motivational industry and the positive thinking industry, the place where that supposedly provides scientific legitimation. And I'm very critical in my book of the scientific studies that are constantly brought out to show that these positive feelings will improve your health.
You're listening to an interview with Barbara Ehrenreich, the author most recently of Bright Sided, How the Relentless Promotion of Positive Thinking Has Undermined America. The question I always have with these is, if someone goes away for a weekend at the Esalen Institute, and they come back, and they're more focused on the goals they want to achieve in their life, and they're projecting a happier facade to the people around them, is that necessarily a bad thing, particularly if it helps them get where they want to be going?
No, I'm not against that. I have not seen that kind of transformation in anybody I know, but I don't live anywhere near Esalen. But the insofar as I can tell, and this is anecdotal from asking, you know, corporate insiders, the effect of a motivational speech, for example, is very short-lived. It pumps people up. Just as you might be pumped up at a pep rally for a sporting event or something, and then in a day or two it's gone. I'm also concerned that, the deeper concern here is that this is a way of controlling the workforce. I mean, if you make it impermissible to be a doubter or a questioner. To even be a sarcastic person. That's another thing that's often prohibited. I could never make it in the corporate world, I think. No sarcasm. But, you know, if you when you start doing that, you've left reality behind, for one thing. But it means people are not supposed to complain when they're laid off, or if they survive a layoff and now they do the work of two or three people. Ultimately a system of social control.
In the book, you say this emerges in corporate America as something of a backlash against a highly rationalized system of management that didn't account at all for the emotional needs or character of the people in the organization. Is there a happy medium there?
Well, it emerged, you're right, but there's the larger reason it was being taken up by corporations was to smooth over the effect of downsizing when that starts up in the 80s and increases throughout the 90s and 00s. You know, how do you get people to leave quietly, and how do you get the survivors of the layoff to work twice as hard and so on? But there was a giddy, giddy mood in American business right up to 2008. Where you did have important business gurus saying things. We don't have time to think anymore. Things happen too fast in the modern world. It's too global. It's too speedy. Everything is just going to be intuition. And, you know, charismatic CEOs who don't necessarily know a thing about the product, a thing about the business, but who can have these flashes of brilliant insight. So, yes, I think America, and then that was at that time, too, that you began the corporate tendency to send top executives and not just salespeople off for kind of mystical events. Esalen would be one destination. We recently had this tragedy in Sedona, Arizona, where some people who had were on a weekend retreat with James Arthur Ray, very big shot motivational speaker, died in the sweat lodge part of the ceremony, well, the events. But you can see, you know, you're not talking anymore about a rational system of management or decision making. You're talking about sending people on vision quests and, you know, or into sweat lodges or something to get inspiration. And that's, I don't know how you feel about it, but I don't want those guys managing my 401k.
Mm. In your introduction, you also tie this to some of the policymaking decisions. There was a certain optimism when we went into Iraq that our troops would be greeted by crowds cheering in the street, that it would be a cakewalk. Can you tie that to the positive thinking movement as you're describing it, or is it just another case of misplaced optimism?
Well, I don't know all the, you know, I think part of it was very clear there. I need to know more about George W. Bush's conversion and the kind of Christianity he was converted to. It seems not to have been the hell and damnation type of Christianity, but the positive thinking, God wants you to be rich kind of Christianity. He saw himself as a cheerleader. He'd been one in college. He could not tolerate being around pessimists. Condoleezza Rice told Bob Woodward that, you know, that she tried to raise some doubts about Iraq, but Bush was allergic to pessimism. I mean, this is pretty pervasive in our culture, so you don't have to have any particular guru influencing him. And now, latest thing, George W. Bush is a motivational speaker.
Mm.
So, all fits.
So where's the middle ground? I mean, where do you go from abandoning positive thinking? Is there anything short of being completely depressed by the state of our world?
Do I seem completely depressed? No, the alternative to positive thinking is not negative thinking, which can also be delusional. In both cases, you're seeing the world colored by your emotions, whether by your fears or your hopes and wishes or whatever. The alternative, which is not a middle path, but is something different, is realism. To try as best as we can to understand what is actually going on and see what we can do about those aspects of it that threaten us. You know, you don't say, well, global warming isn't happening. You say, let's see if it really is and how we stop it. We don't say poverty comes from having a bad attitude and failing to attract wealth to yourself. We try to understand the structural reasons and do something about it.
Now that you're out with this book, now that you're touring it, are you getting any kind of pushback from the positive thinking industry, or are they just shunting you aside like every other negative thought?
That's an interesting thought. It's beginning. The pushback is beginning from mostly from the positive psychologists. And I just did a few minutes ago tangle with a motivational speaker. But, you know, didn't work because when somebody talks to me about just the law of attracting things with the vibrations from your mind, I can't, you know, my background is in science, is in cellular immunology, in fact. It doesn't make any sense to me. I can't follow them. But basically, I'm very pleased that so often the reaction as I go around the country has been people saying, thank God somebody said it. You know, the number of people who have been criticized in their corporate workplaces for being too negative as a way of controlling them and making, you know, them conform to whatever is huge. There's a lot of resentment, and people who have suffered terrible things, bereavement, extreme illness. They're coming. You know, so many times I was told it must be that you're thinking the wrong way. And you want to punch people in the nose when you are suffering. And they say, you know, you just have to think a little more positively about this. So I think I feel very firm right now that a lot of people share this perspective.
And there's social consequences to this kind of line of thought. You point out that many of these motivational speakers tell people not to read the news.
Yes, I love that advice. At first, I couldn't believe it. I mean, they say, the life coaches and so many of these books say, do not read the newspapers, do not watch the news on TV. Why? Because it's a bummer. You know, it'll bring you down. It's got all these negative things in it. And so you're, you know, what a clever way to make a population be passive and acquiescent and compliant. Say you don't get any information and act happy all the time. And, you know, there is a precedent. There's another society, the one very far in this direction, but in a very different way, and that was the Soviet Union and other communist countries in the style of the Soviet Union, where optimism was mandatory, but it was a state that was insisting on it, not the corporations or something. And to be pessimistic was to be, quote, defeatist. And which could be a crime.
Right, and the extreme of that was that various members of the Soviet bureaucracy would over-report things like crop yields and industrial yields so that they could put out glowing reports, and then they wound up not actually having enough to feed people.
Good point, yes. Right, no, then you go off into a bubble of delusion, and you're in big trouble either way.
Hmm. Well, Barbara Ehrenreich, thanks so much for coming in.
Oh, it was a pleasure talking to you.
Barbara Ehrenreich is the author of 17 books, the most recent of which is Bright-Sided, How the Relentless Promotion of Positive Thinking Has Undermined America.